pumpkins, Tony. Oh, sweet potatoes, too much sweet potatoes or too much turkey. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, when you come to the house of God, let's be prepared. Let's be ready to hear the word of God. This is a good moment to hear the word of God. Let's put our hands together, Pastor Tony, as he comes to share the word of God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in the house of God today? Are you really?
Yes, sir.
Honestly, I'm so excited, you know, about what God is doing and about the miracle of salvation. Sometimes, you know, it's easy just to take it for granted that we are born again and that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And it's really, really a miracle, you know, for so much love for God to have sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary and to go through what he went through just because of our sins. And now we can stand tall and we can declare openly that we are born again. It's just a miracle, and we should not take it lightly. I get excited, and sometimes it's, you know, when we sing, you know, like the song, I stand in awe of him. Those words really penetrate into my heart that I ought to stand in awe of him at every single moment of my life because of what he has done. Now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. I believe that you all had a great week of Thanksgiving, you know, with family. And there are people who called me this morning. They traveled. A lot of people really called me. Some of them text me telling me that they are not going to be here. And I told them that we'll be praying for them and that we will miss them. So pray for them. Pray for their journey marches. I think a lot of people traveled out of town. This Thanksgiving, we also happened to be on the road with my daughter. And when we were on our way, our truck broke down somewhere. And we trusted God. We joined hands. We were in the middle of nowhere. But let me tell you, God is so faithful. When you call upon the Lord when you call upon his name in times of trouble, he is so close and he answers. Praise God. In the middle of nowhere, in a Thanksgiving morning, and we cannot move, we cannot go forward, we cannot call everybody. You call everybody, they tell you that they're out of town. And you wonder what to do. And you begin to unscrew some things, you know, within the truck. You know, and you don't even know what you're doing. We just held hands with my daughter and I told her we have to pray because we have to go home and join the family, at least in the evening for Thanksgiving. Let me tell you, I don't even know what I did. But just opening up a few things here and there, and we started moving again. Praise be to God. God is so faithful and he is so concerned of our lives. Praise be to God. I thank God for the move of the Spirit, you know, during the service. I know that the times have been a little bit difficult for most of us. I know the economic situations have affected almost nearly every home. But we are not here just to promote, you know, the economic tension or situations, because we have a God who is greater than the economy of this country. If we can trust God, he is able to provide for our needs. He is able to provide even for the finances to pay for every bill that we have in our homes. He is able to provide even finances, to provide for food in our homes and even to meet our obligations, even as we carry on with the Lord. Amen? Let our hope be in God. Amen? Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season, just as the Bible tells us, we shall reap a harvest. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'd like to bring to us a message that the Lord has been laying in my spirit for some time now. I think it's a season. We talked about the Ark of the Covenant last Sunday, I think, through Pastor Robert. He talked about the Ark of the Covenant. I will hint a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant also today, and I believe that the Lord will bless us indeed. I would like us to turn our Bibles into the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 4, verse number 1 to 12. I'll read probably the first verse, since I will be able to explain the rest of them. I don't have to read all the verses. 1 Samuel, chapter number 4, verse number 1. From verse number 1, I can read the first two verses, or three. 1 Samuel, chapter number 4, verse number 1. And we shall consider the text that is on that part portion of the scripture till verse number 12. The Bible says, "Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in battle and camped beside Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped in Aphek. The Philistines drew up in battle array to meet Israel. When the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield." Verse number 3. "When the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies.'" Verse number 4. "So the people went to Shiloh, and from there they carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who sits above the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant." Let me read the last verse here. "As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth resounded." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this text that you have placed in my heart. I pray that even as we share this text, Lord, that it will minister to us. You've already ministered to me, Lord, and in return, Lord, I'm just taking that which you have ministered to me and pouring it out to your children, Lord. And I want to sit in the congregation with them as we hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us, Lord. Help us so that we can get the context and we can get the rhema out of this logos that we are reading here this afternoon. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because through your Spirit, you're going to inspire us, Lord, even to read through the lines and to grasp that which you have ordained for us to learn here today. We thank you because our minds are alert, Father, even to grasp what the Spirit of God will be speaking to us today. Father, take over. Use my voice, Father, even to communicate the truths of your word, Father. I'm just a vessel, a conduit, Father, and I'm just surrendered to your will and purpose so that you may minister to your people today, Father. Your will and purpose, Father, is that we may live for you diligently and to do the will of God, just as it was your will. It was your food, Jesus. Your meat and food was to do the will of the Father. And I pray that also that our will, Father, will be to do your will. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this context, I know it's a very familiar context for some of you. You know, we are Bible readers, and when we come to the house of God, when the Bible is read, you know, you may have come across, you know, or remember the time when you read the scripture and you read about that scripture. The thing about the Word of God is that the Spirit of God is able to take the Word of God and sometimes tweak it and sometimes put it in a perspective whereby he wants to communicate to us so that we may understand. In this particular time of history, the children of Israel are doing pretty well, and they have a heritage with the Lord, and the Lord is fighting battles. They have a heritage where their forefathers have been able to go through experiences, you know, through fighting through their enemies into the promised land, as it was promised to them by God via their forefathers. And they are able to connect with that part of their history, and they are able to identify, and they are able to walk knowing that if God did it for our fathers, then he can do it for us. And there are some experiences that they are going through, and the Lord is keeping on teaching them because God is interested, first of all, with their hearts. He is interested to walk with them because the children of Israel, they are the people of God, as we all know from the Bible. They are the God-chosen people, and he wants to prove to them that, you know what, I want to be with you. I want you to get into a place whereby you can understand who I am and you can know who I am. And I want you to know that I'm not just a God who walks with you in times of trouble, but I can also be a God who is interested with you as people. Praise be to God. And as you all know, that as they went through, as they crossed over Jordan, they are presented with some enemies that they had to conquer. I am reminded of when they were just about to cross Canaan, whereby there were some spies that were sent to explore the promised land. And, you know, when the spies were sent, when some men were sent out, I believe it was Joshua and his team, Caleb was among them. And each one of them came up with a report. And, you know, some came with a different report saying, you know what, in that land there were giants. And other report was brought saying that, you know what, we can do it because God is on our side. So in other words, they were faced with the giants in order for them to conquer the home, their promised land. They had to fight their way in order to conquer their land. And so it's amazing that throughout the history of Israel, you know, Israel has been fighting him, and today we read from, there's hardly you can, you know, there's a news item and they fail to mention Israel. It's fighting, either there's fighting in Gaza, there's the Gaza Strip, there's fighting in the Gaza Strip, there's the Philistines, the Palestinians, as they call them today, they're fighting or they're plotting, you know, sending out bombs into the settlements in Israel. It has been a battle since time immemorial. In fact, to be honest with you, as long as I can remember, I was still a young boy listening to, I think, the Kenyan radio station. They were still talking about the fighting in Gaza. And even today, they are still doing the same. And so there was a time here when God gave favor to the children of Israel. And you remember how Samson came and threw out the power that he was given by God, destroyed the temple and killed so many of them. And they were trying to regather their strength. And this time in history, Samuel is the prophet in the land of Israel. And so the Philistines recognize that, you know what, we have to avenge ourselves. We cannot, there's no other better time to attack the children of Israel other than now when their hope is beginning to rekindle. Remember, Prophet Samuel comes into scene, and I don't want to even go back. I don't want to go back into how Samuel comes into scene and how God is with Samuel and how Samuel just, you know, he desires to hear from God. You remember when he was born and he was released to be at the temple at Shiloh, the Lord began to call on Samuel. And God began to move with Samuel. And sometimes he would not even recognize the voice of God. And God would come and call Samuel, Samuel. And he thought that the priest Eli was calling him. And so he comes, you know, Samuel begins to move with favor with God. And the Philistines knew that Samuel was a man of honor. And that Samuel was a man who would come and reunite the children of Israel. There was new hope in this particular time of history. Praise be to God. And so the children of Israel realize that, you know what, this is the best time, because the moment they're going to grasp the hope that they already have right now, the moment this prophet is going to take hold of Israel and learn how to rule and reign and judge over Israel, then it will be so difficult in the future to conquer the children of Israel. So what better time was it other than this particular time to attack them so that they can paralyze them and so that in the future it will not be a struggle for them to come against the children of Israel. And so as we read, you know, from verse number one, they organized themselves. The Philistines camped in one place. The children of Israel also camped into another place. And so when the battle began, the Bible tells us that about 4,000 soldiers were killed on that particular day. Praise be to God. And it was so discouraging, because as they moved on, they God gave them victory. And I'm just reminded of of the war that took place in Jericho back in Joshua's time. You know, the Lord instructs Joshua how the battle was going to be won in Jericho. You remember about the fall of the walls of Jericho? How they went around seven times and God gave them victory? A time came when they were to attack a small city called Ai. And so Joshua sends out just a few men to investigate how strong the city of Ai was. And so when the report came back, they told him, oh, you know what? Ai is just a small city. And we don't need even to send 1,000 or multitudes of soldiers. It would be a waste of resources. Just send about 3,000 men. Let me tell you, when they went up into the city of Ai, they were chased out by that small city, by the inhabitants of the city of Ai. And when they came back and when they were beaten up by the enemies of this little city, when the report got to Joshua, the Bible says that he fell prostrate before the Lord. And he inquired because he could not understand, how could we go into a bigger city? How would we go into a bigger city and the Lord gives us victory, and yet we are coming and we are combating, or we are laying an assault on us over a small city, and yet we are defeated. Praise be to God. Now stick with me because I'm going somewhere. Somebody say amen. When the report comes, Joshua, alongside the elders of Israel, the Bible says that they tore up their clothes. The Bible also says that they poured dust over their heads and they fell on the earth, on the ground, seeking the face of the Lord and seeking to know what went wrong, because in the past we've been fighting. God has been giving us victory and victory over victory and victory over victory. And as they are falling, as they are seeking God and as they are crying out to the Lord tells them, why are your faces still on the ground? There is sin amongst you. Praise be to God. There is sin amongst you. And coming back to this story that we are just reading back here, 4,000 soldiers are defeated. And the elders of Israel come together and they are wondering what went wrong. We lost this battle. What is all this that we have lost? 4,000 soldiers. And while they were talking, they discovered something. They said, oh, maybe it is because we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. We need to send for the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh so that it can walk with us. Church, I want you to be with me because this is a subject that is a little bit complicated for me, because when the Lord revealed this scripture to me, I couldn't help but I was just crying out to the Lord. The Lord is so much interested with the condition of our hearts more than the things that we attach as the things that we give value as symbols of God. They sent out for the Ark of the Covenant, which was a good thing. I thank God for the children of Israel because, number one, they determined and they knew very well, they recognized the symbolism of God in the Ark of the Covenant. It was a pledged, it was a long time pledged symbol of His presence, that whenever the Ark of the Covenant, there would be victory. Praise be to God. But I want you to know something. That even before they would have sent out for the Ark of the Covenant, there were certain things that were not going on well with their lives. And when they sent out for the Ark of the Covenant, they could have first of all inquired of the Lord. Number one, we need to know that the Ark of the Covenant had already been desecrated by the sons of Eli back in Shiloh. The Ark of the Covenant was supposed to remain in the Holy of Holies, where the priest would enter into the temple only once a year. But the sons of Eli, who are Hophni and Phinehas, disregarded the presence of God so much that they went into the Holy of Holies, picked up the Ark of the Covenant, and they were willing to do anything they wanted to do with the presence of God. Hallelujah. And so the children of Israel decide, you know what? I think the only thing that we need at this particular moment will be the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because when the Ark of the Covenant, we went with our forefathers, when it accompanied them, then they were able to win many wars. But they missed something. It is amazing how the enemy is able to blind us from the very things that the Lord really regards from us, or he is really wanting and desiring from us. Praise be to God. In spite of the fact that the Ark of the Covenant went alongside with the forefathers of the children of Israel, there was something else that they were blinded to. That their conduct and their ways pleased God every manner of way. They knew how to worship God in the proper way. They knew how to attend to the service of the Lord. And more so, they so cared about their relationship with God. I read about Abraham. He never did anything without inquiring anything from the Lord. He sought the Lord as he wanted to do anything. I read about Moses, how he goes up into how he climbs up into Mount Sinai and he inquires of the Lord. And as he comes down Mount Sinai, you could tell that this man was in the presence of God. His face was radiant, and everybody who saw him, he knew that he had an experience that was extraordinary. They knew how to walk with God. Praise be to God. The fact of the matter is that the enemy's mission, the mission of the enemy, is to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the enemy would like to lead us astray and to make us comfortable in certain things, thinking that everything is still okay. Praise be to God. But God is interested with the condition of our heart. Now, finally, they send out for the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark of the Covenant comes in, when the Ark of the Covenant is brought in and it's on this, you know, it's now viewable to everyone within the camp, the Bible said that they shouted with a very, very loud voice until the earth did what? The earth shook. And now the Ark of the Covenant was amongst them. And I wondered how many times that we celebrate and we shout and we do certain things, we keep ourselves busy. And I ask myself a question. When all these things that are happening in the church today, like when we yell or when we are so busy in the service of the Lord, is the Lord inside it? Because in spite of the fact that when the Ark of the Covenant comes in, the children of Israel looked at the Ark of the Covenant just as a symbol of God, and that was okay. But they didn't go past what it symbolized. They didn't go past the significance of the presence of God. And they rejoiced. They knew as long as the Ark of the Covenant is amongst us, those Philistines are going to be dead. But let me tell you, the Bible tells me that as they carried the Ark of the Covenant, they went with the confidence of the Ark with them. They went with the confidence of the symbol of God. And today, brothers and sisters, I want to put it to you, and I wish you can understand this thing that the Lord has laid in my spirit, that God cannot be constrained within a symbol. Hallelujah. God cannot just be constrained within a symbol of God. God is interested with more than the symbol of God. And the Bible says that even as they went with the Ark of the Covenant, they were destroyed 7 times. The first time they were destroyed, 28,000 people died. Think about it. They raised up their voices. They shouted and celebrated over the Ark of the Covenant. But even as the Ark of the Covenant is with them and accompanying them, you would think that everything would be okay. Praise be to God. But the Bible says, at that particular time, when the Ark of the Covenant was with them, when they faced the children of Israel, 28,000 men fell to the sword of the Philistines. Does that speak to us? God is interested with the soul. He is interested with the condition of your heart. He is interested with the condition of my heart first of all. Praise be to God. The enemy would want us to be content over the symbols or this building, the beauty and the everything that we see here. But how is the condition of my heart? Let me tell you, church, the enemy is going to lead us astray in many ways. And we have read even many men of old who are led astray. But let me tell you, the Bible says that a righteous person may fall 7 times. But every single one of those times, he rises up because the enemy wants to annihilate you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to finish you. He wants to erase you because he knows. Once that contrite heart is connected with God, the power and the effectiveness that there's going to be in the world is going to denounce and annihilate his kingdom. So even though a righteous person may fall down 7 times, I see David when he looked at the window and he saw the beauty of that woman bathing. And he went and lay up with him. And he recognized that he had sin in his heart. He went back to God and he fell prostrate. God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. God is looking for such that can fall on their ground regardless of what you are, regardless of your position. If you're willing to fall down on the prostrate on the floor to tell God, if I regard iniquity in my heart, you will not hear me. Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, listen, church, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not listen. He will not hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not listen. And Jesus and God talks to Joshua and he says that, you know what, there is sin in the camp. They have somebody within the camp has taken some of the burned things, the things that I declared not to be taken. Some of them have stole them. Some of them have lied. Some of them have even kept those things amongst them. And that's why I have disconnected my presence from you. But I tell you, I'm not going to go with you unless those things have been destroyed. God is interested to walk with us. God is interested to meet with us at our point of our needs. Church, but this is one thing that will not be, you'll not hear many people preaching about it, that God is interested with our hearts. Interested with our hearts more than anything. When God spoke to me about things, I had to fall down on my floor. I can't remember where I was, but I fell down on my floor. And I told God, may you reveal things I may have thought, things I may have said, things I may have imagined, things I may have done to my brothers or any of my sisters. God, and I began to repent. I began to repent on behalf of the church. I began to repent of the things that I didn't know. I began to repent of the things, God, because I want to see you. My service is going to be appreciated and accepted before the Lord. He is going to see your service through your heart. Are you listening to me? This is not a shouting message, but listen, this is what the Spirit of God told me to come and share with us today. It is about the condition of our heart. Praise be to God. The shouting is okay, but is God in that shouting? Let me tell you, God is not in about the kind of drums that we have in the church. You can worship God under a juniper tree and God can hear you. You can worship God under a sycamore tree and the Lord will hear you. You can worship God anywhere and he can hear you. It is not about the flags that we have. Neither is it because of the speakers or the type of keyboard that we have here. It is about our heart. We can come to God even in a shackle. As long as our hearts are right with God, he will respond. Church, listen to me. He will respond. It is good to have skillful, you know, nice music going on because it prepares the atmosphere for the movement of the Holy Spirit. And I'm all for that. I'm all for the decorating of our place here. I'm all for making this place, you know, the temple of God look so nice. But I'm more interested with the condition of our heart because I know God is going to regard the heart before he regards what we offer him. Oh, somebody can, please somebody hear me, because the Spirit is crying out for the church. Let the church take on the condition of their heart. Glory be to Jesus. The ark, a great symbol of God's presence and help. It is God's pledge of his presence. And in the conduct of our forefathers, they obtained success. It was through their conduct by that symbol of God that they obtained success. Let me tell you, you can see people, even other churches or congregational denominations, they think that, you know, putting on maybe a crucifix or a rosary, that makes them holy. Or it might be the way they walk, you know. People who walk so, you know, just walk nicely. And even they say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's not the way. It's not in the way we talk. You can even talk in soprano, say, praise the Lord, sister. Holiness is not going to be in that. Or you can say, praise the Lord, so that you're a mighty preacher of a mighty God. Holiness is not being there. But holiness is where? Holiness is not living every single minute, you know, perfect. Because we are not perfect. But let me tell you what righteousness and holiness is. Is keeping on telling God, oh God, I'm so sorry. You know what? You see how I cut that person on that 75. Oh God, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I'm not going to do this again. And then you rise up again. And somebody might have betrayed you. And you felt the word, move from here. Oh God, I am so sorry. I can't believe that I said those words. Please forgive me. That is a walk of a righteous person. Are you listening to me? I am not asking you to be righteous, holy, so that in everything you do, it's impossible. You're a human being. But holiness is when you regard keeping on your consciousness alive. The Bible talks of a republican who came before. I think it's a parable that is given of a republican and a Pharisee who came. He comes with the long robes into the temple. He comes and openly removes, right? Actually, his tithe, so that everybody knows that he tithes, and takes the envelope and he says, he goes and fasts three times and he says, oh, you know God. And he comes to God, you know, like a gentleman, and he's shaking up, you know, God, I'm not like this publican. You know, I fast three times a week, and you know that they see me writing my tithe, they're all giving my offering. Lord, I'm so special, I'm so holy. But this republican comes, he may not be unworthy. And as he comes into the altar, he is so humbled before God, and he knows that he is a sinner, that things may not have gone well. And he doesn't even want to look at the altar. He comes, you know, with a stooped face. And he comes, and even before he comes before the altar, he realizes, I'm not even worthy getting up there, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done, Lord. Please forgive me. I am sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. And he begins to sob and cry out to the Lord. And the Lord asks, who among these two is completely justified? Is it the Pharisee or the publican? And the Bible says it is the publican, because number one, he recognizes that he is a sinner and that he has erred so many. Let me tell you, if you are to really write down every little thing that you do when you wake up, you will find that you have done a lot of sins in a day, you know, by clocking in. You know, you remember, like, the way you're supposed to clock in. You know, you're supposed to get there 8 o'clock, and there's a way you can manipulate that machine so that it sees that you got there 7:50. And yet you meet a brother next, immediately you do that. Oh, praise the Lord, my week has been so good, you know, my sister. It might be something that you picked up from somebody, you know. Oh, this is a little thing. I've been looking for a pen like this. You visit your neighbor and you put a pen in your pocket and you steal it. Oh, praise the Lord, the week has been so great. You still have a pen you stole from somebody? Huh? You went to a grocery, that convenience store. You remember that convenience store on the corner? And the cashier was so busy and he gave you $10 more? And he said, praise the Lord. You know, the blessed be the Lord. And you never returned. You know, it is those little things. Let me tell you, when the Lord was speaking to me about these things, the Spirit of God revealed so much into my life, and I was crying out. I was telling God, please forgive me. I want my heart to be right with you, Lord. I want to treat my brothers like I would have them treat me. I want to be right before you, Lord. So when I come before the altar, when I fall down, I know that I'm right with you. And let me tell you, that will not exclimate or exclude trouble in your life, because Jesus said it, that in this world, there's going to be trouble, Steve. But I can come to the Lord when my heart is right with God, and I tell God, what have I done now? I am right before you, Lord. May you remember me. Remember your servant. Remember so-and-so. Remember so-and-so. It is about the condition of your heart. It all boils down at the condition of your heart, my brothers and my sisters. I wish we can get this message. It is about the condition of your heart. It could be you're the one who mistreats your wife. Let me not even go there. You know what some things you tell her when nobody is here listening? And you and your wife just wishes Pastor Tony was around so that he can rebuke you? Come on now. Things you tell your children? Huh? Or even things that you imagine for people? Have you ever imagined somebody you wish some brothers dead? You just wish, I wish, man, that brother, God would just, you know, an eteel wheeler would just come and just miss the way and hit him and annihilate him. It is possible to allow the Spirit of God to always keep us in line with him. I'm not expecting us to be perfect. I'm not expecting, nobody can be perfect. I expect you sometimes to lie. Yes, you're going to lie. But when you lie, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to hold it within you? Or you're going to come to the Lord? I don't even know why I talked about that to that lady. Please forgive me. That is what the Lord is interested. A contrite heart. A heart that is aware of itself, Pastor. A heart that recognizes that, you know what? There are things, certain things that the Lord will... Let me tell you. Think about this. They shouted about the symbol. So it's not about service. First, the symbol is okay. I'm not disregarding the Ark of the Covenant. That's not what I'm saying, Sister Anne. The Ark of the Covenant was very important. But there are certain things that we have to do first before we can regard the symbol. My brother Ambrose, it is about, first of all, about the condition of our hearts. And the Lord is going to regard service via the condition of our hearts. Let me tell you, I pray that none of us will be on a firing squad. Do you know now, in the body of Christ, not in this church, in the body, it's not very, very unique to find people who celebrate over the failure of others. You know, it's really, really bad. You know, celebrating over the failure of others. If you know that my child or your child or my family is going through a hard time, I believe those are members of the body in which you are a member. Because we are a member of the body of Christ Church. When somebody among us is suffering, we are supposed to kneel down and cry out to God, God, please intervene. And if it is within help, if there's anything you can do to help them, reach out your right hand of fellowship and reach out to them, church. Are you listening to me? Let us not be on the firing squad, you know, whereby we are executing, you know, somebody who is really limping and you really want to finish. You hear people finishing them because they have a limp. And maybe they had a limp because, you know, the devil took them astray. And you wish, I wish the other leg also would be injured. But I'll be the one who is going to provide a crying shoulder. It's going to be okay. I know what you've gone through. I understand, and I'm praying with you. And please, when you say you're praying with the people, can you really mean that you're praying with them? Because many times you say, I'm praying with you. And that, you know, when you say you're praying with them, that's the last time you will ever even think about them. Or you want to kneel down, or maybe you get into your car, please pray, help Pastor Wilson, help in Jesus' name. When you mean it, if you don't mean that you're going to pray for them, don't even say it. If you feel for real you're not going to pray with me, don't even tell them. Because that is a promise, and if you don't fulfill it, then it will end up being a lush promise. When you find Sister Felicia, she needs really help, and she's really, maybe her bosses or her workplace is really, she's really struggling, and she shares with you. It is not for you to pick up what she told you and tell another person. Then that is being, that is the same as being in the firing squad, and you've been given an AK-47. Is it AK-47 or 37? Whatever it is. And you want to completely annihilate her. So when she gives you about the hard report, you're not supposed to be an extender of that report to somebody else. Get that report and take it to the Father. That's the reason why she gave it to you. Oh, is there any person who's listening to me? Can we be men and women who God can look up at? And who men can say, oh, I know there is a man of God. I know Pastor Tony is a man of God. I know Tony is a man of God. I know Steve is a man of God. Even though he just gave his life to Jesus, I can see the way he's walking with God. And I can tell him to pray for me because I know he's going to really pray for me. A contrite heart is what God is looking for. We sing of this song that says, holiness, holiness, holiness is all I need. Holiness is what you're looking for. God is looking for and we tell the Lord, take my heart, Lord, and form it. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Please, create in me a clean heart. Form that heart, Lord. May you mold it. Take it into a potter's house. May you mold it, because when you mold it, when you squeeze it, when you push it up, when you make it the way you want it to be, then I'm going to think the way you think. And then we tell the Lord, please take my mind and transform it. Let him only transform our mind. Praise be to God. There was still a lot of worldliness. There was still a lot of betrayal of the worship of God among the children of Israel. And they regarded more to the symbol, more than the condition of their heart. And the Lord wanted to prove to them, it is not about the Ark of the Covenant. I can show up when I decide to show up. But you have to do certain things first so that I can win. I can make you win the battle. 7 times. Can you imagine 7 times with the Ark of the Covenant? 7 times. Before more soldiers died, 28,000 died on that particular day. Why they had the Ark of the Covenant. Praise be to God. May the Lord help us. The Lord wants to use us in mighty ways, and that's why He would bring such a message so that we can know it is okay. And I understand. I don't. As I told you again, I'll keep telling you. I don't expect anybody here to be perfect. I expect, because the Bible says so. Some of us may fall, but when they fall, that's why we are brothers. We have brothers and sisters so that I can call confidently Sister Noelle and tell her this and this is going on, and she will kneel down and fall prostrate on my behalf and intercede for the Lord for me, because I need you. I cannot, there's no organ in the body that survives independently. It is always dependent on another organ. Have you ever seen an eye just roaming around in Walmart trying to look for something? Or a leg, just a limb, just walking, you know, just a limb just walking all around in Walmart looking for something? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a head, just a head, you know, a head of a person just walking, you know, just jumping in Walmart trying to buy some things? But we are interconnected. We are dependent on each other. We are members of one body. When one item suffers, the other members of the body suffers. Praise be to God. If you regard iniquity in our hearts, then the Lord will not hear. Service is very important. But how are you offering that service? How are you offering that service? The Lord has called you to wait on the chairs here in the church to come and clean them. But somebody, I can't remember who preached about this, but he said, how do you offer that service? Are you grumbling as you work and as you serve? How is the condition of your heart? You know what? If I'm going to grumble when I'm coming to vacuum this church or I'm doing any service for the Lord, you know, if I'm going to witness and there's grumbling, oh, look at these people, sinners, they don't even care. Well, I'm not even going to. You know what? I better stay at home, watch TV, because I'm not receiving any blessing. It will not be different than what the children of Israel did, taking up the Ark of the Covenant, going after battle, 28,000. Actually, you might be destroyed while going to witness, while thinking you're doing service for the Lord. It begins with the heart, the condition of our heart. Sam, it is the condition of our heart. Are you listening to me, church? And the moment you have, every single one of us brings a contrite heart, and we don't have any enmity with anybody. I regard other persons as better than me. I'm able to serve one another with love and genuineness that the Lord expects from us. When I give my all to that brother, loving and my neighbor, the two commandments the Lord gave us: love thine God, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments that the Lord left with us. In other words, the things that you'd want done for you, seriously, and that's very, very difficult, you would want also to do for the other person. Praise be to God. It will begin at the condition of our heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Mold me, Lord. Conform my will to your will. When my will is conformed to the will of the Father, then I know that I'll be thinking the way the Father thinks. Jesus was asked, you know, when he was hungry and he was asked, are you not going to eat? He said, my meat and my food is doing the will of the Father, pleasing God. And I say, you know, we need food for subsistence. We need food for existence. Food is very intricate in our life. We cannot do away without food. And Jesus says, my food. In other words, the most important thing while I'm living here on this earth is to do the will of the Father. And to do the will of the Father is to please the Father. You know, I don't need to have any worry when I come and call Sister Anne and I tell her, you know, Sister Anne, this is exactly what is going on in my life. I don't need even to feel any shadow of worry, because I know when that sister gets that message, she's going to fall on her knees and she's going to call on God. But nowadays we are very, very careful who you talk to, because you don't know what is going to happen. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me, church? It begins at the level of your heart. And it begins at humility. When you are humble enough to tell God, I'm not a perfect person, but deal with me, Lord. Deal with me. Deal with me, Lord. I have issues in my life. I have things that need to be knocked down in my life. Oh, God, please have mercy on me. And I repent of this thing that I did. I repent of that thought that came into my mind. I repent of the things that I was planning to do on Sister So-and-so. I will repent, Lord. I repent, baby. I repent. I repent. When your condition, well, let me tell you, when the condition of your heart is going to be like that, we are going to go places. We are going to go places. Because God is going to be connected to us. Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. There's no one who can say that they are strong enough. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, if you think you're standing firm, be careful, because you can fall. Let me tell you, we so much regard, and I really honor and respect the men of God. But there are some of us who, and I feel I need to say this, sometimes God wants to show up so personally in your level, because God is not a respecter of any persons. But sometimes, you know, we think that God is in some other men of God. You know, like for example, if Benny Hinn shows up in this city, or maybe in a meeting here, the whole crowd here would run there. I really love Benny Hinn. He is a man of God. I respect him. But the same way God meets with Benny Hinn, God is ready to meet with you and meet the same need that you have. It is good to agree with the man of God, but I don't want to use Benny Hinn as a symbol of God. Because using him as a symbol of God will be the same as carrying a hilisi. Do you know, I don't know how to call hilisi. Hilisi in English, hilisi. Charm, a charm. It is just regarding him as a charm, you know. As long as I have, if he can pray for me, no other person can lay hands on me. Oh, Pastor, even Pastor Francis suggested, Pastor Francis, no. I want Benny Hinn to lay. You're using that person as a charm. And God doesn't want that. He wants you to recognize. He wants us to recognize his authority. He is able to come into your level because you have nothing different than what Benny Hinn has. He has just activated his gifts. He's using his talents probably more. And he also can reveal to you, Mom, Lois, he can reveal to you even greater if we learn how to utilize our talents and to just give ourselves to the Lord. Are you listening to me? So let us not use things or items, the outward service or the outward ordinances, you know, like the Holy Communion. Holy Communion is good, partaking the table of the Lord, but it doesn't make us holy. It is just that continuous, gradual, that unrelentless keeping on telling God, God, Lord, please forgive me. I want to be right with you. As you move, God, I want to see you. I want to see you, Father, in this office. I want to inquire of you. What do I need to do in this thing? Let me tell you, sooner or later, God knows that you are dependent on him. And he is not going to let you down. Praise be to God. I would like us to stand on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is some times when you, when God places us in positions of honor, and he has blessed us indeed. It might be career-wise, it might be financially, and it might be otherwise. It might be maybe educational. You have the ability maybe to divide the word of truth, and maybe you have some oratory skills, or, I mean, in other words, everything goes out for you. It's very, very important for us to regard the presence of God and that we know that he wants to utilize those things for his own glory. Praise be to God. There's no one who has achieved it. Even Jesus himself, when somebody regarded him as good, he said, only the Father is good. Only the Father is perfect. And if the Son of God can say that about himself, how much more ought we really, really, really need to come all the time before him and tell him, Lord, I'm falling short in this area and I need you to help me. I harbor this thing within my life, my heart, concerning sister so-and-so, concerning brother so-and-so, and I don't feel like I need to release him. Church, I hear the voice of the Spirit telling me it is time to release them right now. In the name of Jesus. For too long a time, you've harbored unforgiveness within you, and maybe this could be the thing that has set you apart. And every time you try to attempt something, it could be something that you've tried to move forward, but it has created some bumps on the road, some impedances. And it won't go. I feel the Spirit telling you it is time to give it up. For if you harbor iniquity in your heart, the Lord is not going to hear. That's what the Word of God says. I believe in Psalms 66, 18 or 8. I can't remember. Praise be to God. And I would like us to do something special before we leave this afternoon. Every individual here in this house, I'd like you to spend at least a minute before the Lord. Ask him to search your heart tonight. Lord, may you search my heart. I'd like this particular time as I'm speaking to you right now, ask the Lord to reveal certain things that you did that were not right. He is able to do that. And please, I would like you to ask him kindly to forgive you. And he is willing to forgive. Can we do that right now, church? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It could be a thing that only you know. Never has been ever known by anybody, but God knows about it. For behold, nothing is hidden before him. Everything lays bare before him. Hebrews 4:13. Everything lays bare before him. Church, ask him to forgive you. It could be maybe words that were spoken to you and you felt that you could not forgive. It could be maybe words that have been spoken to you by your husband, by your wife. It could be maybe, you know, a habit that has formed that you've been mistreating your children. It could be maybe your colleagues at work. I don't know what it is. It could be maybe something that you stole from somebody. It could be maybe something that put you out of line. The constitution of your call. Listen to me, church. I hear the Spirit of God telling me this. The constitution of your call should mirror or resemble your walk and talk in God. Praise be to God. The constitution of your call should mirror and should reflect your walk and talk. Me as well. The constitution of my call in God should reflect my walk and talk. And only you and God knows that. Did you ask the Lord to forgive you? Next, I would like you to open up your mouth and ask forgiveness on behalf of the church, the body. Things that may have made him angry, things that may have not been right. I would like us to ask the Lord, please forgive us on behalf of my brothers and sisters. People who have hurt each other, they carry stabbing knives to kill other people at night. You don't have to literally pick up a knife and stab your brother, but you can do those so with words. Repent on behalf of those brothers and sisters. Father, we repent. We are your body. We repent before you. People that spoke so bad words and evil words, you know, that were not even supposed to come out of a born-again life. Please, I ask you to ask for forgiveness from the Father. Please do that. I want everybody to do that. Please cooperate with me. It's going to be well. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness on behalf of the church, on behalf of the body, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, if there be words, if there be anything, God, that was done by one of the members of our body, we ask you to forgive us. Father God, if we fell short to love where we were supposed to love, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. We repent before you, Lord. And we say, God, only you is perfect, Father God, but we are pursuing perfection. May you help us in our journey to love like you did, to talk like you did, Father, to think about other people like you did, Father, in the name of Jesus. That when the world looks at us, surely they will say they resemble the master. They resemble their master. They just do things as Jesus did. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that in this church we shall be men and women who love one another genuinely. We shall be men and women who care for each other genuinely, Lord. This has been my prayer, Lord. And you know it, God, that we shall love one another just as you love the church. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. And even in our failures, Father God, you're willing, Father, to pick us up. And you're willing, Father, to embrace us and give us a warm hug and tell us it'll be okay. Father, you never came into this world to condemn anybody. But you came here through so that through your ministry, everybody may have life and have it more abundantly. We want to enjoy life while we are still in you. In the name of Jesus, I declare a blessing over this church, over the members of this body, of your body, who meet in this church. In the name of Jesus, I declare that every one of them, Lord, will regard to you, Father, highly. Every single moment of their waking moments, that, Father God, you walk with them. You will grant them favor, God. Let their diligence, Father, show up before you. And just because of their diligence, Father, and their humility, Lord, you will remember to bless them and to pour out a blessing so great that they will even wonder where all these things came from. Nourish them, Father God, with the oil, the balm, the oil of the Spirit. Father God, I pray that the favor of the Holy Spirit, Father, yes, God, may be endowed upon them, Father, that the Spirit of God will be speaking to them while they are sleeping, while they are walking, while they are walking, in the name of Jesus. I speak divine protection over their lives as some of them walk in hospitals. Lord, I speak your divine protection, Lord, from any attack of any disease in the name of Jesus. I speak your divine favor over their bosses and the people they work under or over in the name of Jesus. Grant them success in their businesses. Grant them success in all that they do. Father, I thank you. Because you always hear us. We are your children, Father, and we have no other in heaven that we can call daddy other than you. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You might be here, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you feel this is a moment that you need to surrender your life to Jesus. The Bible says it's so easy to receive the Lord if he says he knocks at the door of your heart. If only you don't harden your heart, and if only you can open up your heart, he can come in and dine with you. It's so easy to receive the Lord if only you believe in your heart, as Romans 10:10 say. If only you believe in your heart, praise be to God, that Jesus Christ died and rose again and seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And if only you'd confess with your mouth, you'd be born again. Is there anyone in this congregation this day who wants to surrender their lives to Jesus? Lift up your hand. We're going to pray with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I speak a healing to those that may be sick in their bodies. Those that seek a miracle, Lord, let them not be disappointed, Father. Stretch your hand for them, towards them, and let there be a manifestation of that which they have desired from you. Lord, may you meet with them at the point of their need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord God bless you.